Hey everybody, welcome to Marvel Movie News. Today we're talking about Deadpool and the Inhumans and Jessica Jones and Defenders. And I've got a theory on Avengers 4 and Captain Marvel that we're going to end with, but you're going to have to sit through the whole show for it. So right there, we'll be right back.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Ho-ho! Hello everybody.
It was concise. I like the aggression.
It was playfully aggressive,
I mean,
right?
Of course. Like Marvel. Playfully aggressive.
You will like what we give you.
I apologize to everyone in advance. Markia couldn't be there today, so we got Domino instead.
Yes, we brought her in. Exclusive interview.
Yeah, exclusive interview with Domino. Not Zazie Beetz.
No.
Domino. Like the actual Domino.
She inspired the character.
Domino by way of Misty Knight, I think, is what we would all say.
Yes, because I'm wearing
trajectory.
Red.
Yeah, if Shuri and Misty Knight got together and had a baby with Domino, it would be...
Where's that movie?
I don't know, but that's what Markia is today.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding, Markia is here.
Yeah, I put their reaction on my Instagram story if you want to see their faces when I first walked in with my new summer hair.
Your summer hat?
My summer hat.
Summer hat.
Yes. I'm also known as Tiny Rick.
I'm Tiny Rick. By the way, can we just discuss that for half a second? Pickle Rick is the greatest hour of television ever. And it wasn't even an hour. It was 20 minutes.
It's the greatest
hour I've ever spent with television.
It's fantastic.
Forget all that. We are the Marvel Movie News. This is episode 142, coming to you live from an undisclosed point in the future.
That's fair.
I feel like
for this
cable news. Yeah.
Yeah.
We tell you all the news from all the studios and why you should be as excited as we are. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News or find us at youtube.com/Popcorn Talk Network. You can also find us on their website, popcorntalknetwork.com, or on Twitter at Marvel News PTN or at The Popcorn Talk. Also on facebook.com/Marvel News Show. Follow us, like us, tell us how much you love us, and we'll do our best to stay on top of this stuff. So bad at Facebook. But go join it. We're trying to get better, I promise. And guys, if you'll tweet a link out to our show with a message telling people that there's a live chat, that they can come and talk to us and all that jazz, Aunt Manthony will retweet you from his booth below the studio.
Hello, hello, hello. It's me, Aunt Manthony. I almost messed up my own name.
Yeah, don't mess up your own name, bro.
It's complicated.
Welcome,
my name is Matt Key, at The Matt Key. We're joined by Coy Jandro, at Coyjandru. I said that as fast as Coy talks.
Yeah, like, I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I respect it.
So it was zero to Coy.
Zero to Coy.
Take your live lives.
And also, Domino. I just can't get over it. You look great.
D-O-M-I-N-O.
Markia McCarty at MarkeiaMcCarty.
I think you're spot on with everything today.
Nice. Skadoosh. All it takes is being sick. All right. We also have Colt Bodeau tweeting from Starjammer as always. Thank you, Colt. And we've got associate producer Ollie Drennan helping us put the news together every week because he loves Marvel as much as we do.
And Markia and I are not ignoring you. We're watching the live chat on my phone because my laptop is a MacBook and decided to stop working.
Yeah, we're actually playing Sailor Moon Drops. Don't let him fool you.
Oh, jeez.
Angry birds are so angry.
So, Coy, I'm going to get you off your phone for a second.
Oh, are we?
Oh, I thought we would talk about Black Panther. I knew you would jump on.
Yeah.
So, the entire album by Jidenna.
Coy's all about it. Coy, let's talk about Inhumans. You want to talk about? You want to jump
on?
No,
I think it's going to change cinema.
Yeah, Coy's all about.
All about the Inhumans.
First, there was Geely. Then there was the Emoji Movie, and then there was the Inhumans.
Oh no! Is the Emoji Movie bad? I love Patrick Stewart.
I don't even know if Patrick Stewart can save.
Oh no!
Speaking of Patrick Stewart, Deadpool.
Oh hey!
Not a segue. I know it's terrible. We got our first look at Josh Brolin.
What a look it was!
Coy, I'm terrified to do this, but I feel like I'm just going to turn it over to you and just let you...
Can we start with the full body image? Because I feel like we should start there. Can we talk about... Now, the thing the internet noticed was the bear. Obviously, the teddy bear is very interesting, and I think that means Hope Summers.
Me too.
In the phone booth. There's a lot of hope here for Hope. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing a lot of people haven't talked about is if we can't do it because that CV is very dark, but if you zoom in on the gun, it's turned up to 11.
Wait, is it really?
There's
really
a knob on that gun with 1 through 10 and then an 11, and it's turned up to 11.
Yes.
There's an awesome Easter egg in this image.
Nice.
Yes.
So, I mean, we've already got the humor of Deadpool. We've got an Easter egg with the bear. We've got an Easter egg with the gun. And not to mention the fact that, like, this is a giant, jacked Josh Brolin. This mm-hmm. is a beast yeah. of a man. Mm-hmm. His face prosthetic looks amazing. The glow doesn't look cartoony.
No, it looks real.
It looks perfect.
It looks like he somehow has an eye implant.
Yeah, like it looks, because we saw that one shot of them getting the prosthetics out.
Prosthetic,
and I was like, why does he need, this is why he needs that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the solo shot, the
one where he's shushing you.
That's even cooler. Like,
hush. It's like, hush, this is awesome.
Like, that looks like
he's like, hush, this is amazing.
Don't talk about my glory too loudly. Like, this feels like Cable, and I was reluctant, because as you guys know, Michael Shannon was my Cable, mm-hmm. but Josh Brolin here is... I think the aggression of Brolin without any audio, without any, like, this is just a scary man.
Yeah.
And the way they released these pictures was such a good call before we had all the tabloid stuff, before we had paparazzi photos.
Yeah.
And the paparazzi photo that came out today with him, like, flexing, holding that little kid dressed as Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the way to do this. You do the released images first to show how cool it looks when it's done. And then, like, that image
looks
better than I expected.
Then you let the paparazzi do their thing, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, the mm-hmm. neck, like, the, oh.
The neck that's a connected, yeah. Markia, I heard you make a couple of mouth sounds.
Yes, I did.
What do you want to say?
I was wondering, with the full body picture, every week, with the full body picture, I knock down action figures. With the full body picture, this is, I've seen it, obviously, but I mm-hmm. guess I didn't examine it as well as I should have, and our screen is a little bit dark, but who is that in the background that is also, it looks like somebody in the background, like, shooting a gun over his right-hand shoulder? Is this just me seeing this?
I think it's just you.
That's his hand holding the gun.
Is it? That's not like a face in a...
No, that's his hand.
Okay, it's just our
gun.
Screen then.
Yeah, it's just real dark.
Okay, because I thought it was somebody in the
background. I thought I saw
missed like
an entire human being.
Entire human being.
I see what you're seeing. No, that's his gun.
Okay,
his
so this
arm
is
holding a gun
the Marvel equivalent of an ink blot test, and I just failed.
No, it shows the paranoia and the worry about others watching. And
there
you
go. I'm Rorschach.
Yeah. Hi, Rorschach.
Where's Mr. Manhattan?
Where is he?
Where is he?
Where's that handsome guy? What I love about this image and the other one is that they capture the tone of that character
so succinctly.
Incredibly well and so succinctly. And I love that there's like the teddy bear and the arm and the eye and the gun. Like, that's where my eye.
Yeah.
Like, my eye actually caught the teddy bear first.
The composition of the shot's mm-hmm. real good.
Like, it's really well done. The way the costume is on him, the arm looks like the arm in the comics was awesome.
Right.
But it just
how do you
like,
translate that?
How do you translate that without it looking a little silly? Like, even Winter Soldier's arm looks pretty cool, but like,
but it has a flavor.
It's very
a comic
flavor. Looking.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. This arm is. Oh,
I could see that on a soldier.
Realistic?
This is an actual arm. Like, this actually is a cybernetic arm. Like, it looks like the way a cybernetic
something
arm
that feels
would.
Yeah, yeah. Believable.
Yeah.
You know, with where we are in technology right now,
and especially,
yeah. I mean, to me, like, you know, mm-hmm. I'm bringing that to it. You know,
and that suits this Cable. I mean, this type of Cable. Like, I like that they're going full gritty to play off how crazy Deadpool is. Like, you need that good cop, bad cop. And I like how mm-hmm. serious and also the wardrobe. Like, I love they went full with the grenade. Like, they went all the way. Like,
he's carrying around explosives.
Like,
he has that. Like, on his shoulders.
Yeah.
That's
right above
thing.
His heart. That's what he does.
That's a one-man
right
army. And it looks like a one-man army. Cable needs to feel instantly threatening. And if you release the images, like, with paparazzi stuff, you don't have that threatening. This is instantly threatening.
Yeah.
And that's a great way to release it.
And one thing with this, with how he's dressed, with the teddy bear and it's all, you know, a deranged looking teddy bear, like dragged through the mud teddy bear. You can feel the future that Cable came from.
Yes.
A future that produced this version of Cable.
Yes.
I kind of hope that we get that other version of Cable where he's he's soft and he's like, you know,
you mean with Hope? Like,
suburban Cable.
Suburban Dad Cable.
I want to see this and I want him to visit Suburban Dad Cable.
Because Brolin can play that. We know that.
Yes.
We know that man
can
handle both sides. And now the most important part about both of these images. Covered in pouches.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot have too many pouches when you're talking about Cable. And this image is pouch-tastic.
This man does not want for pockets.
No.
He has plenty of space. Whatever you need, he's got it on him.
He is 90s-tastic.
Yes.
He's like the most 90s, like, Marvel character you can think of.
That's what
really.
I tweeted. Like, as soon as the image came out, I was like, I want thousands of just civilians to be mm-hmm. looking up Cable and be like, what happened? And then what? And the
technology. Oh, yeah.
Like, it's insane.
Yeah, so if you don't know Cable's history, I'm going to do my best to condense it for you.
Good luck.
Nathan Christopher Summers was born to Scott Summers and Madeline Pryor. Madeline Pryor at the time was a clone of Jean Grey, though no one else knew that. She goes on to become the Demon Queen in a storyline called Inferno. Never mind all of that. Just know that Nathan Christopher Summers was born and then contracted the techno-organic virus. So he was sent to an undisclosed future where they hoped that he would be able to get that cured. Rachel Summers, a time-displaced daughter of Scott and Jean Grey, took him under her wing because she was fully grown at that point when she discovered him, brought him to a group called the Ascani, who were like a future group of the X-Men. They called him the Ascani son. She was the mother Ascani, and they helped raise him, but they made a clone of him just in case something went awry. Apocalypse got that clone, named him Strife, raised him for himself.
Not the nicest guy.
No. Strife then turns on his creator. Apocalypse comes to the past to follow Cable to the past, because Cable came to the past to stop a dystopic future, and that's where New Mutants finds him. By the way, all of that I just told you came out in 1994, 1995, in the Adventures of Jean, Cyclops and Jean, I believe.
The four-issue miniseries.
That was a prequel created about 5 years after the introduction. They retroactively decided to make him the most complicated origin ever.
He just appeared, and they're like, what if it makes no sense?
Yes. And then it gets into the Extinction Agenda, and that's where you discover that Strife is a clone, but you still don't know the full story. Extinction Agenda, by the way, great story. Go read it. It's one of the bigger X-Men stories of the 90s. Anyway, he's telekinetic, telepathic, but he has the techno-organic virus in his arm. That's where the silver comes from. It's actually not actually cybernetic when he first appears. He has to use his telepathy and telekinesis to keep the techno-organic virus from spreading to the rest of his body, which is why he's very low level of those things, because he has to constantly keep the techno-organic virus
that
part. Right, yeah. There.
It's such a cool thing. He's at bay, because otherwise he's like an Omega level when he's unleashed.
He's an Omega level when he's like, you know what, screw it, let it take me over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just think about how strong that virus is then.
Yeah, exactly. It's rampant and really bad. Mm-hmm. Extinction Agenda, they infect Professor X with it. Anyway, that's all a lot of background that they're not going to do anything with in the movie. What they're most likely going to do in the movie is that he is a future grandson of Scott and Jean, who for whatever reason has a little girl with him. I really think they're going to do Hope. And by the way, if you want the Hope saga, that is Messiah Complex followed by Second Coming,
which is much more recent, 2008, 2009.
It was like 2007, I think. But it's more recent. That's a recent. And for one of the most badass Cable stories ever, Extinction Agenda.
Agreed.
There you go.
And all the first ones we mentioned, Pouchtastic later on, less pouches, still great reads.
Yep. So.
And Deadpool Cable's a really fun run. If you want to just dive into Cable without all the complications, Cable Deadpool is early enough Deadpool. He's not quite the fully formed character he is today, but it gives you a really good shape of what Cable is and their bromance hate.
Yeah. So sorry to give you that blob.
It's a lot.
But it's a lot.
That was very complicated. That was everything within, what, a minute 30?
Yeah. And it only took 72 writers to do that originally.
Yeah, there right? we go. Yeah. It's a bit unfair because I had a bit of a rehearsal on Screen Junkies today when they had me in to talk about Cable. So I was like, oh, no, I've got it down. I can do it. Ryan Reynolds confirmed that his time travel origins, well, presumably, in one of the tweets, the one with the finger on his mouth, he said, "We all have that one grumpy, heavily armed uncle from the future. Premium Cable, hashtag Josh Brolin." So yeah, that. But he said from the future, so we're all like, "Ooh, is he from the future?"
Puns for days. Premium Cable.
But he's totally from the future.
I mean, he's.
I mean, that's an important aspect of the character.
That is a very important aspect. As much as they need to get rid of, they need to keep that.
Totally agree. TMZ recently shared a photo of Zazie Beetz stunt double parachuting onto set while filming in Vancouver. We have a few other things too. I just don't know if we pulled images for him. There were some more set photos released today.
Deadpool also parachuting.
Deadpool. But gosh, she looks so badass.
Yes. Future cosplay there.
Yeah, I love that she's doing her best Markeia impression there. It looks really good.
solid work.
Yeah, she's doing Markeia cosplay. It looks really good. There's nothing
Every
that you can really tell.
Every image is exciting.
Yeah,
they're more.
They're filming Deadpool again, guys. This is the only movie I've ever followed paparazzi photos. I usually avoid them, but I'm so excited. Even like a second of like I know this is happening now. I've been following it with Zeal.
If I may, I think they probably staged their photo release.
Oh, 100%.
They were like, you know what? We've been in the studio.
Yeah.
We're going outside. There's going to be paparazzi. So here's Zay Zay Beats. Mm-hmm. She's going to be filming this entire week outside.
Right.
Cool. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Now there's paparazzi photos. Like, I think you're exactly right. But yeah. I think that they probably stage, knowing that they're going to get free press from the paparazzi.
100%. Because you release the cable images, and then 6 hours later, oh, look, we're outside. What an amazing thing. Like, the internet's helping them. Because their ad campaign can't, like, the first one's ad campaign was so strong because it was Ryan Reynolds running rampant.
Yeah.
This one, they're letting the paparazzi do the work for them, and then Ryan Reynolds can ramp it at the end. Like, at the end, he can do his full push. We're already all excited. It's already going to make all the money.
Yeah, it's already going to make, like, $700, $800 million worldwide, if not more. Yeah. I don't know. I just, like, God, Fox Marketing.
They're always killing it.
They're good.
I think Fox, with a comfortable lead, has the best marketing team for their
superior movies. Totally agree.
Goodness knows they've had enough practice with it. So
reshape, restructure.
I think that's all the pictures that we have, right? I don't think we have any more pictures of Deadpool to show. No? All right, we're going to the humans. Great.
I like how you structured that.
Yeah, great.
Surprise added.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. Before we leave Deadpool, Markia, Coy is the Deadpool guy. Okay. He's the.
Am I the Inhumans person now?
No.
I refute you.
That's still on me. I'll still take that heat. But do you have anything else you want to say about Deadpool, Domino, or Cable before we move on?
Well, I'm excited for it. When is the release? February 20th?
I don't think it's
summer release.
It's a summer release.
They got a summer release.
Oh, yeah. I got so used to Valentine's Day.
They trust
that's
it now.
Okay. I've got Black Panther for Valentine's Day. Now it's not a risk. So that's fine. Yeah, no. So, yeah, I'm excited with what they're going to do with this, especially because they have the established characters. Like, they have Blind Al. We know that she's coming back. You've got this great interaction between Zazie. I'm actually not sure how to say your name. I just
like saying Zay Zay.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to say Zazie until someone corrects me. Feel free to correct me.
Zazie. Yeah.
I say things weird. But I like the interaction between her and Ryan Reynolds
just
already.
Just that smile.
Yeah.
The smile in that one picture is just like, they're having so much fun.
He earned that smile.
Yeah.
So he's doing things right. And I like this.
Yeah. Or perhaps she earned the right to give him the smile. She earned her own smile. She's like, I made a good joke. That's how I mean it. Sorry. Like, I made a good joke. I'm better than you.
Cool. I really like that they're having a good time on set together. That's actually pretty important to me. Like, the actors in the Marvel Universe really enjoying, you know, being a part of it, because goodness knows, you know, us fans were rabid.
Yeah.
So please enjoy the love with us.
Yeah, and when they're having fun, the movie's better.
Yeah,
it's just better. Like, you can tell. All right, let's move on to the Inhumans. Cool. We talked about the Inhumans. It was great.
Yeah, I think it's
interesting. All right. There are fans of our show that really are excited for this series and for the movie that's going to come out in September. It's little, like, right around a month away from being released. And I'm glad that you're excited. But please understand that we are hearing a lot of things about this show that it's not good. I think that the kind of proof of that was at the Television Critics Association this past week. They did a panel. The Inhumans did a panel. And the reporters were asking questions about the quality of the show, quality of the series, quality of the effects. Is IMAX, like, are these effects IMAX standard? Are they up to that standard? And Jeff Loeb and the cast kept kind of dodging the question.
It was the most political I've ever heard a TV panel in my life. It sounded like a White House correspondence dealy, like where they're trying to, like, well, you know, instead of talking about that, it's really about
we're
going
to deflect to this.
Is that an editorial question or is that a question? Yeah. Like, when he said that, I was like, geez.
For those of you, those fans that are really excited for this, I invite you to go look up this Television Critics Association thing. And by the way, Jeff Loeb's not 100% incorrect in what he's saying with, it's not 100% finished.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't seen the series yet.
September 1st is right around the corner.
September 1st is pretty close, but they should be pretty damn wrapped by this point.
I'm not saying that they're cramming for the final, but by this point, you're kind of cramming for the final.
I think it probably looks the best that it's going to look, and I think that is falling short. And in fact, Sarinda Swan had something She said, I didn't pull the quote, and I'm sorry, but she said something along the lines of, what we're doing with some of these effects and stuff has never been done before, and you don't get anywhere if you don't take risks. Mm-hmm. And she's not wrong. Mm-hmm. She's 100% correct.
Yeah, somewhere. Yeah.
But the fact that she's saying that,
it's concerning.
Is concerning, because what she's basically saying is, no, we know it looks bad, but if we didn't take the first shot, if we didn't take the punch to the chin, then no one else would be able to do it better.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I kind of just want you to do it really well. I get that. But
I want that IMAX money to go to, you know, good effects. Since exactly. We're not getting a movie. We're getting a series.
We're
getting 8 episodes. Then yeah. I want those to be hard hitting. If it can't make it with the effects, then I want it with the acting and the writing. And that starts with the writing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only so much that actors can do with what they're presented.
Exactly.
And there's only so much, you know, awesome writing can do if the actors aren't cast properly for the parts.
Yeah.
So it comes to acting and writing. If you're
effects. Misfiring on either one of those, and like from what our friend John Armstrong was saying last week, it's just like
the dialogue's brutal.
It's the Inhumans drinking game. It's like, you know, like, well, we don't want
to
do that.
I know that hair is the hardest thing to animate because of the sheer quantity of individual things. And I know that, like, Medusa's hair is the biggest problem I have because it's her, like, power set.
I mean, yes, because it's her power set. Like, it's not getting Wolverine's claws right.
Right, which they did in Wolverine Origins, and it looked awful.
And everyone called
them out for it. Like, you don't ignore the power set problem. So,
you know, electrifying toads.
Yeah.
This was a thing that everyone had a problem with. But if you look at movies like Zootopia, that movie had entire teams for hair. Mm-hmm. There's a reason that movie looked great. Those were 100% animated, and they looked like real hair. Mm-hmm. We have the technology at this point. If you can't do it right, don't do it.
Okay,
so,
but
like, that's why this, I don't, and then people being upset at us for being upset, like, I just don't think I want to see characters that, if you love these characters, you don't want to see them mistreated.
But I also think it isn't fair to compare it to any movies, because movie budgets are completely different. You know, movie is completely different
from TV. So they should have made a movie.
Yeah, well, I think we all agree.
I'm just not
going to
forget
that.
It.
But, but I am saying, you know, by TV standards, I'm judging it on that. And I'm not okay. I can understand if effects aren't there, but I will not understand if writing and acting isn't there.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying.
And I feel like I'm going through like the 5 stages of grief.
You're in acceptance now?
With Inhumans and Scott Buck.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, at first it was, oh my god, like, you got Scott. He did.
They didn't know how bad that was reviewed. Like, he was already on the show before Iron Fist came out.
Yeah, and, like, so, like when he was first announced, I was like, oh my god, Iron Fist must be amazing, because they just gave him Inhumans.
Yeah.
Then Iron Fist came out, and I was like, ooh, he has Inhumans? Yeah. Oh, this guy?
Well, people already kind of felt that way from him with Dexter. I mean,
you see,
him being on Iron Fist in the first place. The
like, I watched, like, the first season of Dexter. I didn't see anything past that, so I was like, oh, Dexter's fun. It's okay.
I watched it through. There's merit with what some people were saying with, like, the tonal shift that happened.
Sure. So, but I'm to a point now with Scott Buck where I just feel bad for him. Like, because
you're a nice guy, Matt.
I know. Well, and here's the thing. Like, it takes a lot of work to be a TV 100%, writer.
100%.
Yeah. And it takes even more work and even more experience and even more busting your ass to become a showrunner on 2 very high-profile shows for a very high-profile studio.
And this poor guy's name is synonymous
with... The dude has put in his work and time, and he's proven himself to be a competent showrunner and a writer. And then Iron Fist comes out, and it's like, oh, what happened? And then Inhumans comes out, and it's somehow getting even worse, like initial reviews and looks, and even worse buzz than Iron Fist was. And this doesn't even have any of the, you know, sort of like missed chances with like casting a different race. Like, Danny Rand could have been a great American Asian, like Asian American. That would have been amazing.
Yeah, and
you know, so
it was just. Louis Tan would have been such a great Danny Rand. But
he would have been great.
Yeah, but we kind of saw some of this with when he took over Dexter. I mean, like you said, you watched season one. It's this different interpretation of characters. It's like it's that he does where it's like everybody likes to use the term grounded, and then there's too grounded. It goes to the point of being grounded to the point where it's unimaginative to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's a different skill set for doing a comic book property.
Yeah.
And it's for me, it's apparent that his skill set isn't as strong as others when it comes to this.
Have you guys seen Langoliers? It's a Stephen King movie.
Yes! Yes.
You remember how good the writing was? There's so much tension and pressure, and you just felt and you were in the, it. And you were, and
the effects are not there in this instance.
But that's what I'm saying is once the effects were there, you're like, but I'm still scared because of how good the writing is. So
yeah, the Langoliers are coming.
You can't blame just special effects for this feeling bad. So my point is like, if they didn't have the budget, that's fine. But the writing needs to be good enough by the time you make it that you get Langoliered. You're still afraid. Yeah. And Sliders, great show on Sci-Fi. That's a TV show. Sliders was great. Effects were awful.
Yeah,
but you watch the hell out of Sliders.
Yeah.
So that's my thing. Is like, you need the writing to be good enough that you can carry this
Even like the first, like that Eccleston season and the first season of Tenet on Doctor Who. It's like the effects are there. But some of the creature effects, some of the makeup effects, a little weird. But it's like, but this is amazing. It's Doctor Who. Like, screw, whatever. Like,
you got character, you got actors, you got situations. Yeah, even when the budget runs out and then they're grounded on Earth for a bit, you still have great writing.
And the Gifted's going to have moments where the CGI is not going to look great. But if the writing's as good as the reviews are starting to come out, we're going to be in.
You forgive it. Yeah. So,
that's where I'm at with it.
I'm on the same page as the fans who are excited for this. In that I want to like it. I want to be proven wrong more than anything. But this TCA thing, Armstrong last week talking about what he saw at Comic-Con, all the footage that we've seen, it just isn't adding up. And like, you know, we're in Hollywood. We have our ears a little bit closer to the ground than a lot of people do, which is why we do our show. But
And you know, I do want to stop saying Scott Buck's name so much and think about who it is that hired him
for
both of those. Right, Jeff Loeb. Jeff Loeb.
and by the way, not to dump on Jeff Loeb, but he came into Marvel TV when Avengers Assemble was on, the cartoon, and he's the one who made it to... No, I think it was Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, and it ran for 2 seasons, and it was amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, I watched the first couple episodes and was like, well, this is the new best thing that I've ever seen.
I have to agree with you, Matt. I love that show.
It was so
sad
good.
It was only 2 seasons.
It got 2 seasons, then Jeff Loeb came in and was like, we're scrapping it and we're doing Avengers Assemble. And I was like, but I think the ratings are good and the writing is amazing.
Why not let
and
this
like, let it continue. And then he made it Avengers Assemble, which isn't good. So, like, I
agree with you there, too.
Thank you, Aunt Anthony.
It was not that great. Yeah.
So I think that the biggest problem with Marvel TV is as good as a writer as Jeff Loeb can be in terms of comics and, like, in everything else he does. He's not a bad writer. I just think that he is making some poor decisions, and maybe the ego of Netflix and everything else kind of went to his head, and he's now kind of like, I can do no wrong. I'm going to do Inhumans with Scott Buck. What? Now everyone's like, no, you did wrong. That's real bad. No, it's good. You guys just haven't seen it yet.
Best case scenario, this is the first misstep, and it shows us to be more patient, take our time, and make like quality so we don't lose.
Yeah, exactly. And like maybe...
Second misstep, but
That second week of September after we've seen it, I really want to come in here and say, guys,
I really want that to happen.
And we've learned our lesson. We're never going to speak before we've seen something.
I would love to be wrong with this. Yeah. I would love. But so, you know, we'll see.
Time will tell.
Second week of September, y'all.
Yeah, so anyway, all that being said, there's a quote saying that this is still a work in progress. We're really down to the wire on some of the special effects. The special effects are not necessarily the problem. We want a good story and some good characters, and it seems like maybe... Anyway, all right. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 5 will premiere sooner than expected. You want to know why? Probably because ABC's like, ooh, Inhumans. So it was going to come out in January, I believe, maybe February. It is now... It's going to come on right after Inhumans. As soon as the 8 episodes of Inhumans is done, then S.H.I.E.L.D. will begin. That puts it somewhere around November. So they're moving it up by 2 months.
Why wait? Just have it come on right after Inhumans.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Just do that.
Before we lose our entire audience, let's bring Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. back. It hasn't been the best show, but it's got 5 seasons.
You're going to get some tweets about that.
I'm sorry to be negative. ABC Marvel it doesn't work for me. Like, I like S.H.I.E.L.D. It's a fun show, but it's not great, and it could be. And that's what frustrates me. So
I'm going to reserve opinion on that because I've only seen a couple of episodes, and one of them was when a senator was killing her brother on a helicopter.
Yeah!
And I was like, whoa.
That was last season.
And then there was like LMD and like, it was pretty cool.
When S.H.I.E.L.D. works, it's a great show. The problem is that they have like 4 episodes of filler and then like two oh my god shows, and then four episodes of filler, and what just happened? So like,
I'm the wrong person to talk to about that because I'm a Sailor Moon fan, and there's like entire seasons that are filler.
Yeah,
I think because America just did that. Up somewhere for a spirit bomb.
Well, that's not Sailor Moon.
No, Dragon Ball Z, anime.
I was like, oh my god,
you know, Dragon Ball Z. They'll have like five episodes where he's just charging.
He's just
meanwhile, while Goku's charging.
So, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, what I like about that show, what I feel like they do right, is they take risks from time to time. They'll be like, no, we just killed that character. Oh, Grant Ward, by the way, he's been a bad guy this entire season. Like, it's those kind of things where it's like, oh my god, Wyatt? Like, that's awesome.
Nice.
But I wish that they did more of that more often.
Oh, okay.
So, that's all. Because cool. it could be amazing. So.
Speaking of great shows, Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones.
Yes.
Arrow alum J.R. Ramirez is joining Jessica Jones season two. He's playing a devoted single father who moves into Jessica's building as the new superintendent while his young son becomes enamored with Jessica and her powers. Oscar keeps his distance, worrying about the trouble that follows. Melissa Rosenberg, the showrunner, says J.R. is an incredible addition to our cast, bringing complex and subtle emotion and humor. He exudes warmth, edge, and intelligence and blends perfectly with our tone. I don't think that he's necessarily a comic book character, especially with Jessica Jones. Like, she's
That's such a new title, and it's so freeform.
So I think that he's probably just a dude.
Oscar.
Yeah, but I do
he's an Oscar dude.
I do think that there will be a romance there.
Oh.
It sounds like it. The way they described him is warm, age, intelligence, Lex her power.
Yeah.
You know, since Luke has Claire and his own little series going on, then Jessica needs, you know, a nice dad without a power set.
And it's not going to be Iron Fist. That makes no sense.
Hey, maybe he gets captured and he's injected with something to then have powers. And
maybe.
He can't handle it. We don't know. Ooh, but he's a handsome guy.
But he played Wildcat, I believe, in season 3 or 4 of Arrow. I think it might be 3, yeah. Marvel's Defenders early reviews are strong. It's an 8-episode series, and right now it's currently sitting at 80%.
Beautiful.
On Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm very excited.
Super solid.
Now, caveat, reviewers have only seen 4 episodes. So for all we know, the last 4 episodes are terrible.
Possible.
Could be.
But, you know...
We've been wanting a tighter season, and 4 is half now at this point. Yeah. That's a lot of the show.
Like, it's half. It's like about the 60% of a normal season order, and they've got 4 strong characters.
Right. I'm not worried about Defenders at all, personally. Yeah. 10 days? Yes.
No, neither am I. Dude, I know.
I watched that right before the burn.
I know.
Wait, is that the 18th that's coming out?
I believe so.
Yes.
Defenders will also bring out an entirely different Elektra. Elodie Young, speaking with comicbook.com at San Diego Comic-Con, said, "One day you die in the arms of your loved one, and I was kind of a good person at the end of Daredevil, and then I come back here and I'm going to be in other arms this time, and everything's going to go more dark and violent for me. So it's just interesting to know that I will be able to play the same character, but at the same time, a character who completely forgets who she was and had to build from there. It's exciting. It was just brand new. Everything was new." So,
speaking of dark and violent, I have to go TV fight. So I will.
Wait, are you serious?
It's 3. I got to be there at 3:30.
Oh shoot!
Sorry, I wanted to talk about cable so much I couldn't leave that to you guys.
Fair enough. All right.
I love you guys. I'll see you soon.
All right, bye. So Elodie Jung went on to talk about her character going through different alignments, saying, "You know, I think in both of those versions, I don't think she's 100% good or 100% bad, and that's what I like about Elektra. She's a complex woman, and we all have goodness and bad things in us, and I enjoyed playing both." So,
who doesn't?
Right?
I mean, that's one of the things. If I get my wrestling training just right, it's like, am I going to be a heel or am I going to be a face? Because there's so much fun with both of them.
Well, you certainly got the face.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on,
I like
you.
Stop it.
Stop giving me compliments. That's my impression of Markia. That's how she sounds to me. I'm just kidding. That's not true at all.
It kind of sounds like your comic book voice where you're not writing for comics.
I'm not writing for comics. Runaway Season 1 won't have a singular villain. This is exciting. And I think pretty cool. Let's see. Stephanie Savage, who is one of the showrunners, Talking to IGN said, obviously the parents are the villains in some regard for the entirety of season, I assume is what she means. That's the premise. But I think what we want to be able to do is delve into those characters and realize that everybody is kind of flawed, perhaps, but that there are no cliched mustache-twirling bad guys who are just out for world domination. She then goes on to say, kids rebel and don't always want to listen to their parents, and sometimes it's because they shouldn't. And parents do things because they think they know better, or they're looking out for their kids' best interests, whether or not they're right, or they share the same values as their kids. So, family show. It's a show about a family fighting with each other.
This isn't anything out of the, you know, out of the norm for what we've been talking about with Runaways. We know that each of the parents are their own supervillains. Like, they're part of a supervillain. What's the term? Cadre?
Cabal.
Yeah, cabal. So, yeah, we knew that there wouldn't be one unless they go there, but I'm not going to do spoilers.
Yes, don't do spoilers. That is a huge spoiler.
I know, so I'm not saying anything.
I'm not going to say anything.
We knew that there would be an amazing amount of interplay between like trying to figure out, oh, my parent is a supervillain, I'm their kid, and then there's the normal rebellion, but then there's also I'm on the side of right. Right?
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 Yeah, but who knows? The show must go on.
I also think that a big part, God, I never get tired of looking at that picture. That's so well cast. I think probably what's going to end up happening is the protagonists are their own antagonists. Like, the kids are fighting with each other the entire time they're running away. They don't get along. That's even in the comic books,
they've got tension.
They get along. They get along, but there's tension for who's the leader, what's the right decision. Like, you're wrong, I'm right, our parents aren't this, maybe they're not that bad, maybe we're the ones that are wrong. It's that sort of tension.
Yes, indeed.
You know, so... all right, well, let's move on to Guardians. What do you think?
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy. James Gunn
Guardians
is
always
teasing Adam Warlock's casting, saying, so in an interview with IGN, he was asked point blank whether McConaughey was approached to play the cosmic hero. Here's his answer. No. Listen, I mean, I think McConaughey would be too old for the role. Adam Warlock is basically a baby because he is just being born. Hey, Ollie.
Hey.
It's the new Koi. Hey. I love that you came in like...
Oh, are you coming in too?
Oh, no.
Because I unplugged it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you're just getting...
Moving off screen.
Oh, okay.
Zoom.
Okay.
Okay.
Marvel. Thanks, Ollie.
I love that you came
you're
in
like James Bond like, right now.
Oh, making like shushing us and then tripped over the microphones.
It was epic, baby.
Am I fired?
No, you're so not fired.
No, we love you.
No, you can sit in if you want. So he said, Adam Warlock is basically a baby because he is just being born. I get a lot of people giving me a lot of ideas for Adam Warlock online, but that guy is 65 years old. How is that going to be Adam Warlock? He's a baby. I got David Bowie all the time before David passed.
Oh.
God, but David Bowie's Adam Warlock would have been amazing.
Bowie, oh my God, he was such a great Tesla.
Oh, God.
Right? He was such a great Bowie.
Yeah, Bowie was the best Bowie.
He was the best Bowie.
Like, if you're a Bowie, I'm sorry. You're number two.
Oh, man. Like Prince was the best Prince.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. I think Matthew McConaughey would be an amazing Adam Warlock, but that's... I did not keep this article in here to bash on McConaughey. I think McConaughey is an incredible actor.
I saw him in Dark Tower.
Is Dark Tower good? I haven't seen it.
Dark Tower was... Dark Tower series is so thick.
You know, it's hard to condense into a movie.
Yeah. So they made it into... it's a YA movie. And then instead of doing it through the perspective of Roland, they did it through the perspective of Jake, like the kid.
Sure.
And I don't really understand why they did that. But there's a lot of cool action sequences.
Okay.
You know, so
cool.
I think under a, you know, new director or someone, they could try continuing that series.
Okay.
Or soft reboot, but keep Idris Elba.
Yeah. Oh, Idris Elba for everything, forever, always.
Yes, always Idris.
So I didn't want to keep that in there for the McConaughey bashing or whatever. I think McConaughey's great. I kept it in there because it gives us an idea of the character that Gunn is creating for Adam Warlock.
Yeah.
He's young. He's new. He's a bit like maybe Baby Groot or Vision, even where Vision was like, I'm a bit new to this. I was born yesterday. That great line at the end of Age of Ultron. I think that is kind of what they're looking for. And they're obviously looking for someone younger. So I don't know if that means adolescent or if that means like young man, like 21, 22 years old. But it seems like that's kind of where they're looking and that's where they're making that character. And I think that's where the humor is going to come from, is I'm a bit innocent and naive.
Yeah, I think they just need an actor that can go there with the vulnerability.
Yeah.
Like, believable vulnerability.
Yeah.
But they also want the suaveness that a McConaughey type can bring to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I understand, but I'm thinking McConaughey type is in, you know, his delivery so much as his, not so much his appearance.
Yeah.
That's where I'm thinking with it.
Well, still speaking of Adam Warlock, during a recent Facebook Q&A, he was asked if Adam had already been cast, and his answer was, I have never even said Adam is going to be in Volume 3. We certainly haven't begun casting for the film. So
that's a whole lot of calm down.
That's a whole
simmer down now.
Shh, I'm not even done with the script. Just...
Yeah. It's like, hush. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be... Just,
it's going to be awesome. Hush.
Just let it wash over
it's
you.
Like, just let
it's
it
gonna
happen.
It's going to be great. It's going to be
good. Just let it happen.
So Ollie and Aunt Manthony, I need to apologize to you because I threw this in last minute. We got a quick Silver and Black update on casting and story.
Okay.
I don't have any quotes because I wrote it in here by hand. I'm going to summarize essentially what that hashtag show said. That hashtag show came out saying that they believe they have some more information on the story and the characters. Essentially, Black Cat starts the entire movie. Black Cat, by the way, Felicia Hardy is a master thief, similar to Catwoman, though she has a power that is she can give you bad luck. If anyone around her has, like, a pistol's misfire, you fall off a ledge, you know, the roof caves in or whatever, you know, wood falls on top of your head and knocks you unconscious. Like, she has that power. She can't control what happens to you. It's just whatever you're trying to do won't happen.
Yeah, it will affect you.
Yeah,
you know, white hair, deep cleavage.
Perfect name. So she starts it all off. She steals something, presumably from the villain of the film, the antagonist named Mendel Strom. Mendel Strom was, he's the guy who created the Green Goblin gas that turned Norman Osborn insane. Norman Osborn stole it from him, put Mendel Strom in jail. Mendel Strom got out of jail and had a vendetta against Norman Osborn, which immediately made him a bad guy to Spider-Man. Not because Spider-Man's like, no, please don't take out Green Goblin. I would love for you to do that, but you're trying to kill him, and that's not the right way. That's not the right thing to do. So you got two bad guys fighting each other. You know, hoping to kill each other, which immediately makes him, you know, you're going to kill someone, you're Spider-Man's bad guy, enemy. He also goes on to become a character named the Robot Master, and then Gaunt. He has his consciousness sort of like similar to Arnim Zola, transferred to robot. Anyway, that's Mendel Strom. He apparently is experimenting on the people of Simcaria. That's where Silver Sable is from. Her father, Ernst, I think it's like Sylvania or Silveria.
She's like a James Bond type.
Yeah,
she's very much a badass.
Yeah, she's very much a James Bond badass who has her own team of mercenaries called the Wild Pack. Black Cat steals something, presumably from Strom. Strom immediately goes after Black Cat, sending Tarantula and Scorpion after her. I think maybe a couple other organizations are chasing Black Cat for the same thing that she stole, whatever it is that she stole. But more importantly, Silver Sable is after Black Cat. She captures her and then has to keep her safe from the pursuers once they discover they're both kind of on the same side, even though they're maybe trying to do different things with it.
Yeah. And then keeping in mind that everything around Black Cat goes wrong when Silver Sable's trying to help her, then...
That's actually a good point. I didn't even think about that. That's it for Silver and Black. There's no, like, that's all rumor. Maybe it's true. That hashtag show is typically pretty on the spot, though.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
So I think that's kind of probably what's going to happen with it. And now we don't have Black Panther news, but I just wanted to take a moment to look at a picture of Black Panther. This is the picture that Ollie chose for us. Thank you, Ollie.
Yeah, it's the one where T'Challa's
so
sitting very powerful in the throne.
Yeah, it's just kind that first like poster that was released.
Kind of like a PlayStation 2 video game cover.
You
know, and not going to lie, I'm going to play that game.
If I
saw this,
oh, man.
I would play that game.
Oh, man. Play the hell out of that game.
That's what it is.
But that's the image that we're showing, iTunes listeners. Sorry that you can't see it.
And the circle throw.
There's legitimately no Black Panther news. I didn't want to do a show where I didn't at least say, hi, Black Panther, you look great.
Yes, they do.
Oh, my God, that trailer. God, God, Marquia, why?
Oh,
could
I
you
know.
Not
I've seen it. Dark Tower had it as one of the previews
yeah,
before,
they had the
and
teaser,
the two
though.
The two friends
the teaser,
is the
not
teaser.
The full trailer.
Yeah,
and the full
it was
trailer
the teaser.
Is just like badoosh.
But the two friends that I was with hadn't seen it in theaters yet, so they were like, "Ah!" I'm like, "Yeah!"
And you like guys high fived like, and started making out, and it was just like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Wait, what?
What?
What do you do with your friends?"
You don't make out with all your friends. Avengers Infinity
Brittany,
War.
Come check your hubby.
Oh, she knows. She does it too. I'm just kidding. None of that is true. Avengers
all
Infinity
War.
Avengers 3 and 4 will have some intense stakes. So the Russos essentially said, we like stakes. We believe in stakes for these movies. We fight for stakes on these films. And I think people should be prepared for a very intense experience in both Avengers 3 and Avengers 4. And they should be prepared for some pretty big surprises. I don't know what that means.
Scrolls.
I mean, yeah.
Miss Scrolls.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to get to Avenger, my Avengers 4 theory.
Okay.
I've got to.
Then I'll save mine for.
No.
No. It's basically just a couple of keywords where I'm like scrolls, death.
Yeah. Well, no. Everyone's going to die. Everyone's going to die and then be brought back to life somehow.
Yeah. Secret Wars.
Emily Van Camp also.
Battleworld.
Like I legit. Oh my God. Battleworld would be the best. If they did Secret Wars, oh my God. I would like. Kill myself and watch it as a ghost. I'd
World
be like,
War
this
Hulk.
Is the only way to watch this movie is as a ghost from the beyond. I wouldn't kill myself. Don't do that, kids.
No.
I kind of don't know what to make of that quote, except this movie's going to be huge and there's a lot of stakes. So
yes. Pretty big surprises. You know, bring the handkerchiefs. You know, get two popcorns.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And bring Coca-Cola or whatever.
Yeah, it's going to be a long movie. It's going to be
a long movie. So...
Bring like a barbecue grill, cook some hamburgers.
Yes,
you know,
have
you're gonna be in
sandwiches.
There for a while. Yeah, have some sandwiches
and make sure that you have a pickle Rick.
pickle Rick. God damn, oh my God, that show. I want to be that good. All right, Emily Van Camp on whether or not Sharon Carter will appear on the Avengers Infinity War. Deadline talked to her about the possibility of a cameo or anything else in Infinity War when she was at the TCA press. And she said, no idea. With Marvel, they can give you a call the day before you shoot. You don't know what's going on with their movies because they're very secretive. Then she goes on to say, but if you want me in it, let them know. So
yeah.
Maybe she'll be in it. I think it would be a shame to not have her, especially after everything that happened with her in Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we'll see. You know, Sharon Carter. Cool.
Yeah. I wouldn't hate it.
No, I wouldn't hate it. I liked that character a lot. Speaking of characters that I like a lot.
Something real quick in the chat room, they keep bringing it up. Disney has decided to pull its movies from Netflix. This isn't really a Marvel issue, but they're discussing in the chat room. Yeah.
No.
And they're going to do their own service and bundle it with ESPN or something along those lines.
Yeah, no, I mean, they own ESPN.
Yeah,
so it makes sense.
They're doing that. And I'm like, oh, I'm sad because, you know, one of the reasons why I subscribe to Netflix is because of the variety and then because Luke Cage, Defenders,
uh-huh.
you know, yes, Punisher,
yes,
Jessica Jones too,
yes.
So it's sad that Disney would leave, but it wouldn't change my variety that much.
No,
you know what I mean?
No.
Gonna
and
be
like I own the DVDs, like I'm not, that is frustrating though, because for a lot of people, that's
it's
the
like
only way they can really
watch
it. It's
like their version of putting stuff in the vault, and I never agreed with that.
I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that. Stop doing that, Disney.
Yeah.
Stop creating false demand. That's not right. Let us watch your movies.
well,
Evangeline Lilly is a jack. Oh my God. Look like
up. I
like
love this.
She's just like wrapping her wrists or something, and she's just like,
it's
oh,
like, good girl, you do the do.
Yeah,
you do the do. You need those arms. You know why? Because you're a superhero, and superheroes look like that.
Yeah. She looks. She could kick every ass in this building.
Yeah,
like without breaking
except
a
for
sweat.
Me because I'm sneaky, girl. Because
well,
know,
yeah, I mean you're Misty
gonna...
Knight. You're Domino Knight.
Domino Knight. Oh,
Domino
wow.
Knight.
And that's the mixed cosplay that I should do.
Yeah, do
cosplay
it.
Cosplay fusion,
it. Like,
right there.
Have the
Domino
the,
Knight.
Yeah. gosh, she looks like, and I don't mean this in like a oh, she looks good. Oh my God, she looks like good. Like she's buff. She's huge.
Yeah,
like
I feel
she's
like
a
she's
hero. Like.
Competent. I feel, you know, I feel confident in her.
Yeah.
You know, that's where it's coming from with me.
No, and she was great in the first Ant-Man. Like it was like my biggest gripe with the first Ant-Man was that she couldn't be the Wasp then. It's like, no, let her be the Wasp. Just a bit.
Yeah.
Let her help.
I should finish that movie.
Yeah, you should. It's a good movie. It's a fun movie.
It was so bro. It was so broke. It was for a little me. Bro. At the beginning. So I didn't get past it. I have it.
Yeah. So she says, Wasp ready arms. They better be. First official day of shooting for me is tomorrow, which I believe is Monday or today. So,
Yeah,
I can't wait I can't wait to see what they do with her. All right, Captain Marvel details indicate Marvel and retro costume might make appearances. This comes from our friends over at the MCU Exchange. So I'm gonna save this bit for later. Sorry, I should have prepared this a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So we know the Kree. So according to MCU Exchange, everything I'm about to say, they know the Kree will have a large presence in the film. According to the source, the film will absolutely include the Kree hero Mar-Vell.
Ooh.
The original Captain Marvel. So OG Captain Marvel, Mar-Vell, nice. Okay. Spelled Mar-Vell.
Mm-hmm.
Background on him, he is a Kree war hero. He is a pink Kree. Most of the Kree are blue. So he is a different skin variety of Kree who is oft-times looked down upon.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes to Earth with a lot of other Kree, especially Yon-Rogg, I believe is the name.
Okay.
And Yon-Rogg is jealous of the love that Mar-Vell has. Anyway, you know what? Don't need any of that. That is background you don't need. All you need to know is he comes to Earth with a Kree battalion and is sent to Earth to infiltrate it and see just how spacefaring and how much of a threat they are to the rest of the galaxy, to the Kree Empire.
Ew.
I think that they're going to do that here. Sorry, I'm getting my thoughts together and I apologize. Yeah.
No, that's fine.
So here's what I think is going to happen. And I want you to chime in and tell me where you think I'm wrong.
Okay.
So Feige said that they're doing the Kree-Skrull War, right?
He's basically said the
Kree-Skrull War is a large part of the background for this film.
Right, in 90s, and then he won't really say anything else.
Yeah, and the Skrull are the primary antagonists.
Yes, from what I can gather.
So here's what I think is going on. Instead of Mar-Vell coming to Earth to ascertain our spacefaring nuclear capabilities, are we a threat to the rest of the galaxy or whatever else, I think he's coming to Earth because the Skrulls are here.
And he
knows the Skrulls are already here doing their best to manipulate humanity into fighting their war to secure another planet for Kree.
Okay.
To fight against the Kree with the Skrulls.
Okay.
So I think Mar-Vell and his team, maybe including Yon-Rogg, come to Earth to root out the Skrulls. So I think that we will see Mar-Vell on Earth. He meets Captain Carol Danvers in the Air Force as they're trying to root out the Skrulls.
With human Nick Fury. Yeah.
I think that that's where the movie starts. I think that's kind of the primary start is the Kree and the Skrull have been fighting for millennia.
Mm-hmm.
They've now come to Earth. The Kree are coming here to make sure the Skrulls don't claim Earth, protect, keep Earth safe.
What makes Earth so special? I mean, they're everywhere.
It could be just like it's a good staging outpost. It's sort of like
I would want a reason. If we're going to take away the seafaringness of it, then I would just want a reason because Skrulls are Skrulls. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
So I would just want a really great concrete reason for him to particularly come to this planet.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
I don't disagree. And maybe it's a one Skrull in particular. Maybe there's like
the one that Nick Fury becomes
like a sort of like Skrull captive that escapes Kree custody or something like that, so they come to hunt him down or something like that.
They can make up a Skrull because I believe that Fox is still holding on to
Klert,
all of the
Super Skrull. Yeah.
Yeah. They're still holding on to Super Skrull. So they can make up one.
They can make up some. Yeah.
Yeah. But for some reason why they have to come to Earth.
Yeah. You're right. Why are they having to come to Earth?
Yeah.
So let's see. Also, they are claiming that we should expect to see some version of the Psyche Magnetron. Go, Psyche Magnetron. It's the only way you can say it. So the Psyche Magnetron is how Carol Danvers, Ms. Marvel, gets her powers to become Ms. Marvel. Yon-Rogg is trying to defeat the Earth with this thing called the Psyche Magnetron, which I think it's something like, it turns imagination into something real. Something weird and fantastic like that.
Yeah. Note, Psyche Magnetron.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Mar-Vell stops it but in the process creates an explosion. And though he is able to save Carol Danvers from that explosion, in saving her, somehow the explosion fuses her human DNA with Kree alien DNA, thus creating the hero that goes on to become Ms. Marvel, and later Binary in the X-Men comics, and then later again, Ms. Marvel, and then eventually Captain Marvel. So,
yes. After she takes that away from Captain Marvel, also known as Spectrum, if you're nasty.
Yeah, if you're nasty. furthermore, her half-Kree, half-human DNA is going to be used to explain why she hasn't aged since her disappearance. Because it's 25 years ago.
There we go.
She should be 25 years older. Just look at me. That's what 25 years older does.
Do we know for a fact that they're not going to age her at all?
I don't suppose we do.
Yeah, but it makes sense for them not to.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I am very excited for this movie, and I think that's I think what they're going to do is, it's got to be the Kree-Skrull War. There's got to be a Skrull invasion already underway. The Kree come to stop it and enlist Carol Danvers in some capacity to do that, along with Nick Fury.
Yeah.
The question is,
how long has Nick Fury been a Skrull by the time we see him?
yeah, exactly.
How long?
The question for me is more, what Skrulls are left after the events of Captain Marvel that then play into the future of the Marvel Cinematic
it's
Universe?
It's like, who's a Skrull? It's like you're a Skrull, and you're a Skrull.
Yeah, right? Ooh. So, now, here's the theory that I'm kind of cooking up.
Okay.
Marvel physics consultant... is Dr. Spyros Michalis. Michalikis.
Which, and I love that job title, by the way.
I know, right? That's the coolest job
ever.
To be
a Marvel physicist.
Marvel Studios physics consultant. Like, the greatest job
nice.
Ever. He explained a few months ago that the quantum realm is going to play a major part in Captain Marvel that has a lot to do where she's been and why she set out the events of Infinity War. The quantum realm.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Got it.
So, Doctor Strange can go to the Quantum Realm. Ant-Man visited the Quantum Realm, right? Mm-hmm. So we've got those two characters. So we get Infinity War next May, I believe. Soon after, we get Ant-Man and the Wasp. Then we get Captain Marvel. Then we get Avengers 4, right?
Right.
So between Infinity War and the fourth Avengers film, we have two films that deal with the Quantum Realm in some capacity.
Okay, because you have Captain Marvel and then the
Ant-Man
Wasp.
And the Wasp, yeah. And we know that, it's an easy assumption that they're visiting the Quantum Realm to save the Wasp, who is Michelle Pfeiffer. That's the only...
I mean, that's...
Right?
It's just kind of built in.
Yeah,
so,
it's built in.
Yeah.
Like, get Hank Pym and the Wasp, and then you have Scott Lang and the Wasp.
Yeah.
You know, I think that makes total sense. So here's what I'm wondering. Is the Quantum Realm becoming the Marvel Studios version of the Negative Zone, where Annihilus lives, where Annihilus eventually escapes from to start the Annihilation Wave that starts the one of the biggest cosmic Marvel events ever called the Annihilation. Then Ultron comes out a year later with Annihilation Conquest, I believe.
Right.
Where he's infecting all these various species with his own sort of AI consciousness and turning them against the universe.
Which he is wont to do.
So we've defeated Ultron. I don't think he could do that. Like, right. I guess they could explain, like, he escaped Earth and is now out in the cosmos in some capacity, but they really didn't set the stage for that. That would be kind of
Vision
a cheat,
kind of
I feel.
Squashed that last ant, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah. That's the way I feel, too.
Yeah. But, hey, it's comic books. It's
I know,
MCU,
right?
so they could. But. Yeah, I think that would be maybe a step too far, and that's interesting with saying, especially when we're about to go into Thanos and, Thanos's Black Order, for me to say that's a bit too far. So. I don't know, but films are kind of different from comic books. It's a bit too hokey to bring back a villain, especially when they have all these other villains that they can utilize.
I totally agree.
So... keeping it just to who's like in the quantum quantum zone.
Realm, yeah.
Yeah, now I'm thinking negative zone, quantum quantum zone, quantum realm. I'm saying no to Ultron, but I am wondering how that would affect the fourth film. Like in my head, the fourth film is Battleworld.
Oh my god,
that's what it is. That everything just has to go through that, you know, the the gauntlet is grabbed by whoever they decide to, possibly Nebula, whoever they decide to have it grab it. And then we have Battle World for the fourth. And then near the end, we figure out a way to then get out of that.
Yeah.
Maybe with having Adam Warlock back in, or Magus or whatever. But in my head, that's what the fourth one is. It might be something else completely. Yeah. So I'm wondering, for you with your theory for Quantum Realm, how would that affect what you feel the fourth movie would be?
Well, that's what so like the fourth film, I think, could be Annihilation, except it wouldn't be a Nihilus because he belongs to Fox, I think. And it couldn't be Kang, which wouldn't make sense anyway, because that would be a completely other story. But like they could find another character who rules over the Quantum Realm and is now bringing the Annihilation event out. So I think there are maybe four distinct possibilities for what that fourth film is going to be. But like, looking at Ant-Man and the Wasp and then Captain Marvel, both of them dealing with the Quantum Realm, I can't help but feel that the fourth Avengers film is going to be wrapped up in the Quantum Realm somehow.
It's a strong, beautiful narrative into that for those two movies.
So I think it's entirely possible that what you're suggesting with Battle World, and that comes from Secret Wars first in 84, and then later, 2015, I think it's entirely possible that Battle World gets created in the Quantum Realm.
Ooh.
And all of the heroes get sent to the Quantum Realm by whomever possesses the gauntlet from Thanos, whoever steals the gauntlet away from him.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. Oh, you know what would be awesome?
What?
I just had this thought. Someone at the end of Infinity War is able to wrest the gauntlet away from Thanos eventually. Mm-hmm. And in order to keep the fight away from our reality, moves it to the Quantum Realm.
Oh, wow. I like that.
So then the fourth Avengers film is...
To save
all of reality. It's like, nope, fight's now here. What? What are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I think that then the title could be Avengers Infinity Gauntlet, which was one of the jokes that was, or something, but I don't think that they would call it that. I think they would call it
Zoe Saldana. That was like, Zoe Saldana, you mean Gauntlet?
Gauntlet, yeah. Then we return to Gauntlet in August, September. I think probably what will happen, like, if they do that, it would be titled Avengers Battle World or Avengers Secret Wars, is my guess.
Yeah.
But I do also think that there's still a distinct possibility that we find a way to defeat Thanos, maybe even turn Thanos on our side, which is what happens in the comics a lot of times. And maybe even turn him on our side because the Quantum Realm erupts. And he's like, oh my God, the Annihilation wave is coming for all of us.
Then I
don't think that that's what's going to happen. I want to see a pure, clean, true defeat of Thanos.
Do you think we're going to get a conclusion with this fourth one, or is it just going to be another
It has to be final.
I think we deserve it at this point.
Yeah, but I honestly think that they're going to combine Negative Zone, Quantum Realm, and Battle World. I think that's...
Oh
God, what if they did that? Wow. That would be amazing.
That would be amazing.
That would be amazing.
Is it still going to be accessible to everybody, though? I mean, I would like to think so.
I mean, all you're doing is saying, we're taking this giant, super duper gigantic fight and moving it into what we call the Quantum
Realm.
Because
we've just had two movies where it's been explained
and you've seen it. Yeah.
In the Quantum World. Quantum Realm. Yeah. I'm just going to keep on messing that up.
Yeah.
And the Quantum Realm. Then that fourth one could.
Yeah.
Because it's like with Doctor Strange, be like, hey, magic's real. Magic's magic. It's not just magic and science. It's like magic's magic. So now we have that. So
yeah. And Doctor Strange can easily access the Quantum Realm.
Mm-hmm.
So he can go back and forth, whatever he needs to do. In fact, maybe he even gets the gauntlet, finds a way to in that moment, I will die. Like Doctor Strange wielding the Infinity Gauntlet.
But, no matter what, we know Hawkeye lives.
Yeah, Hawkeye lives.
No matter what. Hawkeye lives.
Watch, he's
the first one to die.
Oh my God, he lives. The first one, yeah. So that's my theory. There's a casting sheet on Reddit, and it has names on it, but I don't buy it. I don't believe it, so we're not going to talk about that. What do you think? Where are the holes in that theory?
Okay, well, I did the one particular one, like his motivation to get to Earth. Also about the possible accessibility of it, but they will have two movies that they can use to explain for that. I guess it would have to go to the stakes then. We love these characters. We've spent a lot of time with these characters, but if we have all of this happen in this, you know, microverse, this micro teeny tiny verse, mm-hmm. then it kind of takes the stakes away, at least for me, because I don't want the world to explode. We don't necessarily need, you know, like Portal in the Sky, sure. but also for all of it to happen, you know, in something smaller than the size of a pin, it kind of removes me away
See,
from it a
here's,
little.
So here's my thought on that though.
Yeah.
I think the quantum realm is that it's mm-hmm. absolutely like this microcosmic, impossible to quantify small space.
Yes.
But I think that there's this weird Ouroboros nature to it where, yes, it's small, but it's a whole other universe.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I don't.
And I think that that's more what it is. It's not I'm super tiny. It's you've gone so tiny that you've sort of passed through into a whole other universe.
Yes. No, I understand
so
that.
So that's kind of how I see it.
I totally understand that. What I'm saying is for me as a person, like, for instance, if something very, you know, big and horrific happens, but it's on the other side of the world, mm-hmm. it tends to have less of an impact
sure.
because it's on the other side of the world. I mean, thanks to social media, you know, we mm-hmm. can have access to that, but it's not right here as in, oh, it happened down the street. So if we have these characters and we take them and put them into another universe entirely where what happens to them does not affect our world, I'm wondering of the yeah. stakes of that.
Well, so the stakes would be, and yes, 100% correct. In my mind, if they were to go this direction, the stakes would be, are the heroes stuck there? Can they get back? Are all of them going to die? Do they live? And then maybe there's an event going on Earth that they can't get back to solve. Maybe there's mm-hmm. a few Avengers who are left on Earth trying to take care of this thing. Maybe they find a way to communicate. And it's like, we need you to stop being in wherever you are and come fight this thing. Like, mm-hmm. maybe Thanos is still around.
That's a possibility.
You know, and he's like ruling over Earth, but he's got the Avengers stuck in this quantum verse yeah. fighting. Because, and that's where they, like, maybe they go there and Carol Danvers has been stuck there for 25 years.
Ooh, interesting.
Like, that's another part of the theory. Is
okay,
that
that's,
she
that's
ends up getting sucked into this quantum realm.
So then she's able to take out Thanos if she's, and he gets sucked
if
in.
If they can
something.
Free her from the quantum realm, then she's like, what's up? I'm one of the biggest enemies that you have in comic books. And, like, the mm. Marvel comic book lexicon, like, Captain Marvel and Thanos are. They are arch nemesis. Like, Captain yeah. Marvel can absolutely take down Thanos.
I would love to see that battle, too. I guess just my thought process is if all of these dueling superpowers get sucked into another universe,
yeah.
then Earth is normal again. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Earth is normal again. So why would we even want them back?
Exactly. And that's where Marvel Phase 4 starts. Where do you go
yeah.
from there? They're probably, maybe they get stuck there. Maybe they die there. Maybe they've been left behind. Maybe they get changed. Maybe the Infinity Gauntlet changes mm-hmm. all of them. It's a completely different reality all of a sudden,
yeah.
which I think is kind of exactly where they need. I think they want the soft reboot because we've been doing this for 10 years. Films have progressed. We've all changed. Our tastes in film have changed in that 10 years. Iron Man is amazing because it's such a product of its time in 2008. If you were to make Iron Man now, we'd be like, that's fun. Like, think about it. Like, if they were to release Iron Man tomorrow and none of us had ever seen it, we'd be like, that's a fun movie. That's a really well-done movie. But
I don't know if I can remove myself enough.
No, it's hard to do. It's hard to do.
But yeah, but like, I understand what you're saying.
Like, can you imagine seeing Iron Man after you've already seen Guardians? Right? Mm.
It might not be enough because the bar is continuously being raised. So,
sure.
But the bar started with Iron Man. So I don't know.
No, I know. It's chicken and egg.
But I understand the point that you're going with
So
it.
I think that they're going to want the soft reboot, personally.
Yeah. But I mean, you just get to that point. I mean, if all of them are sucked into another universe, all of them,
yeah.
you know, Chitauri, the Skrulls, Kree, you know, Iron Man, Captain America, love Chris Evans. But if they were all sucked into another universe and Earth was normal again, would we even want them back?
Probably not.
We enjoy the spectacle
and we enjoy the protection, but if all the bad guys are there too,
then, you know, they can battle in that other universe.
But who's to say that those bad guys get sucked away?
That is true.
Maybe Thanos is like, I want all the heroes over here. And like Scorpion's like, cool, I'm going to go kill everybody.
Red Rover, yeah. Send your heroes over.
Yeah, Loki's like, cool, I'm going to go rule the Earth because my brother's stuck in the quantum realm and can't get out because he doesn't have Mjolnir anymore.
Goodness.
You know. Anyway, let's talk to the Merry Marvelites.
Yes, yes.
Take it away.
Okay, so some shout outs. Evan at Harris Harris EV9, world's worst vegan at underscore lefty underscore right underscore. Nice. JJ Lang at JJ Lang tweeted. Bark at birds underscore what are they?
That's the best name. I love that.
Shane
name.
Pickett at DadRad4. Carlton Smith M.ED at Captain Black America.
Nice.
Worldwide at Project J Park and Dash I at Dash I.
What's up, everybody?
And shout out to Brandon Morse at B Morse Music. He sent a Gladiator style Planet Hulk video that was
nice.
Super fun.
Oh man, I haven't seen that yet.
It had like Harrison Ford and all the Harrison Fords.
Oh God, gotta watch
part
that.
Part of a gladiator battle.
That's awesome.
So Julius at Salad Missile, birthday shout out for August 18th. This is the guy who built his own TARDIS
nice.
And sent me a picture of it. So happy birthday, Julius.
Do you, should I give him the best sexy shout out I can? Like, does he need a,
sure?
Or do we just want to sing him a happy birthday Julius Salad Missile, Julius happy birthday.
TARDIS.
You get the Defenders for your birthday. That's a good present.
Yeah, that's actually.
I mean,
really
if you
good.
Like the
August
Defenders.
18th. Yeah, nice.
I mean, if you like that kind of thing, I guess. Whatever.
Okay,
I don't.
And then this one I was up in the air about. Joseph Hall at A Blunted Soul 1. He's like, can I get a sexy birthday shout out from me on the show next week?
I leave that up to you. August 9th.
Yeah, August 9th. Okay, so since it's birthday, so I'll need some backup here.
You want me to do the...
Yeah, and feel free to chime in.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Joseph Hall. Oh, my God, baby. August 9th is your birthday.
Oh, it's your birthday.
And you're going to put on your big boy birthday pants.
Oh, your big boy pants.
And you're going to have your big boy birthday on August 9th.
Oh, big boy birthday, August 9th.
So we're sending a sexy shout-out from the Marvel Movie News crew. Joseph. Happy birthday, baby.
Sexy birthday shout out. Happy birthday. Bow yeah.
How was that? Did I
yeah,
ruin
I
everything?
It was fine.
All right.
And shout out to everyone who sent me summer hair love. Thank you.
Oh, nice.
That was so cute. Ba, 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 ba. So we have a number of questions. Some of these we actually kind of already answered. Janet at Spider Girl 90, we answered her question about Infinity War.
Okay.
And accessibility.
Hi, Janet. Thanks for asking.
I have Ashley Houchins. How about Morgan Freeman?
Oh, she told us how to pronounce it.
She totally did.
Houchins.
So now I know how to say it.
Houchins.
How about Morgan Freeman as Eternity for Avengers
4? Oh, my God, yes. I want Eternity so bad.
That'd be pretty.
That's one of my favorite Doctor Strange stories is the Eternity saga.
Yeah?
Where Doctor Strange goes in search of Eternity to find out how to defeat Dormammu and Baron Mordo. And Eternity's like, you've had the power the whole time.
Ooh.
And disappears. And it's like, well, screw you. I've been searching for you for like 20 issues. I've had the power the whole time.
Like,
I still
what?
Love it though. I'm making fun of it because I love it so much.
I like that. Then he's got to kind of do like the video game where you go through your inventory and be like, oh, darn it. All
darn
right,
it, I've had it the whole time?
What was the thing that I picked up that I can use for this?
I could use that? Oh.
Yeah, we answered Dave Mills' question. He was wondering how we would integrate Captain Marvel into, you know, the MCU.
We had some theories there for you, Dave.
Stacey at Where You Walk. She was like, will any of you be at Boston Comic Con August 11th through 13th? I will not be personally.
I wish that we could. I love Boston, but we cannot afford travel.
Oh.
I mean, I got like... Burning Man coming up in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I have my birthday on the 27th. So
boom,
I know, and
you're gonna
I'm
get a sexy shout
month.
Out. Yeah, how? Congratulations.
Yeah, I got an apartment, and actually, two other apartments have now contacted
nice.
Me, being like, "Hey, by the way, we'd love to."
And you're
like, and I'm
"Nope,
like,
maybe
I'm like,
you
oh, I don't know, choices.
Maybe you should have gotten to me sooner.
Like, maybe you should
I've already
gotten
got
back
a love.
To me sooner.
I've already got someone I love. Thanks, though."
Yeah. Carlton Smith. Did we cover this at Captain Black America? Do you think we will ever see Namor in the MCU with his power kit? He could be a game changer.
Probably
Who
not.
Would you cast?
Probably not.
Probably not. But if they do, they can have him in Black Panther. I mean, if they
want
to go, if they want to go that route, because as we know, Namor does get, he does
he
get brainwashed and take.
He would
actually be that'd be pretty awesome because
like Wakanda vs. Atlantis,
exactly.
That'd be a great
where they
Black
have the
Panther
whole thing
too.
Where he floods Wakanda. You know, it's not him though. You know, kind of a
that
thing.
Would
He's
be,
like,
that would actually
yeah.
be.
That'd be, and then
All
you
right,
have
well.
Shuri step up as you know the Black Panther
uh-huh.
because you know obviously
he's
T'Challa's
in charge of the
out
necropolis.
Of, there we go. So that
Carlton,
would be a possibility.
That's the only way I could see that happening, Carlton. is if he's in a sequel to Black Panther, because he doesn't fit with the Avengers right now.
Okay. And so it's been a little bit since I've read the original Civil War comic. Do we remember Chris Logo's question at Chris_Logo? Does Bucky killing Tony's parents have any impact in the original Civil War comic?
Absolutely not. That doesn't even ever come up. Yeah. The original Civil War comic
It's been
is,
a while for me for reading the original. The original and the movie is like overplacing it.
Yeah. The original Civil War comic is, oh my God, Speedball. Robbie Baldwin is part of the New Warriors. They are on a reality show and they're showing off their superpowers by going after a team of low powered villains. And they're like, check this out. We're going to kick their ass. What they don't know is that they've taken mutant growth hormone and are all like super duper souped up. And Nuke, who is a villain with the power to turn himself into a bomb, like he essentially gives off an explosive blast with himself as the epicenter. Kind of a dumb power in a way. Like he doesn't blow himself up, just a blast comes out of him that is bomb like. But he on that growth hormone, he's a nuclear weapon, and he explodes a 3 to 5 mile circumference area of a place called Stamford, Massachusetts, including a school, and that starts the Civil War Registration Act, the Superhuman Registration Act, and that's where it goes,
as it should, because that's horrifying.
So and it has nothing to do with Tony's parents being murdered by Bucky. I don't even know if that's a comic book thing. Maybe
might
I'm
be
wrong.
A movie invention. I would have to reread.
I'd have to
find my hard drive that I have all that on, because most of my comics are e-comics now, because I've given away.
Sure. No,
I had to economize my space.
So much room.
Okay, so our pictures that we have. This first one from Deb Cap Evans at Marvel Padawan. My little godson loves you guys. He wants a shout out for making me be War Machine.
Aww.
His name is Oscar.
Oscar, good work.
Yes. She makes a fabulous War Machine, dude. Oscar, you're awesome.
Dude, Oscar, high fives all around, man. We love you too.
Big time.
And way to make
Deb.
Is it Deb? Deb?
Deb.
Way to make Deb War Machine.
Yeah.
Looks great.
So cute, dude.
Good work, Oscar. We're all proud of you.
Okay, and this from the hashtag Marvel Movie News, the Marvel Movie News hashtag.
Nice.
It's a colored pencil fan art of Mantis. It was sent to our hashtag by at Miss Song Jung.
Oh my God, that's beautiful.
This is epic.
That is very well done. Oh my
that
God.
That is a lot of love and a lot of art in one piece.
That is fantastic. Good work.
Very nicely done, dude.
You are far more talented than I could ever hope to be. Congratulations on achieving that.
Yeah, mine would
be
like this beautiful stick figure with two antenna at the top and a peace sign.
Yeah, mine would barely be a stick figure. Like the legs aren't even connected to that stick.
Yeah, and our final picture is from Will Crabtree. Sent it to us via Instagram.
Oh, nice.
His Instagram is wildebeest360. It's the... What it is, it's the sequel.
Awesome.
Spider-Man Prom Night.
Oh, that's great.
And it's a lot of love went into that picture, obviously. And what it is that it has me as a history teacher on the right-hand side. It has you as Professor Doctor Strange popping out of a portal saying, stay in school.
Yes, this is the best. And I would say that. School is very important. I do believe that.
And then it has Koi in the back as a random tiger mascot.
Oh my God, that is great. Solid work, Will. That is awesome.
Yeah, so Spider-Man Prom Night.
And I love to imagine that like he was bored in like home economics or something drawing that.
I'm gonna draw
Marvel Movie News instead. you gotta get bored in school. That's part of school. That's okay.
It happens.
So some of my fondest memories of school were me being bored with my friends in class. Just like, oh my God, we're still doing calculus. Ugh. That's awesome. Well, thank you for sharing those pictures, guys. We love seeing those,
thanks.
And we always try our best to collect all of those and show them off as best as we can. In the meantime, that's it.
Yeah,
for our show.
That's about everything for this week.
Yeah,
that's just about.
I love that you texted us before you came in. You're like, I look like a New Jersey housewife, and then you showed up. I was like. I don't think the
no. It's
you
because
just look
I'm
like
very I'm very comfortable today, and I have like slippers. And of course, going with that, I'm going by like reality show.
Sure.
I don't think I've actually met a New Jersey housewife.
Yeah. But I just love that. Shows. I just love that.
I'm very comfortable today, but I also did my makeup, so I'm like, yes.
Tell us where we can find you and what you're up to.
Yes, you can find me at Markeia McCarty. That's M-A-R-K-E-I-A M-C-C-A-R-T-Y. And that's on Instagram and also Twitter. Snapchat is Darth Thinmints. Darth is in Vader and Thinmints is in Girl Scout cookies.
Nice.
I was about to switch those. And yeah, this upcoming Monday, actually, the Marvel Movie News crew is going to be doing something with Screen Junkies where we'll be talking about Defenders. So we'll be doing that. You can catch me on Mondays on AfterBuzz TV. It's our sister network. And I do a WWE Raw Wrestling After Show with Johnny LaQuasto. So do that. That's 8:30-ish on Mondays. So yeah, all these opportunities to interact with me.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
My name is Matt Key on Twitter, at the Matt Key on the Instagram that I never use because I'm still trying to, I can't figure it out. But that's Java Shambhala. Go follow me and eventually I'll start figuring it out. And tomorrow night I'll be talking with Taliesin Jaffe and Amy Dallin over at Geek and Sundry on the Wednesday Club on their Twitch channel at 7 about every Robin ever, crossing the streams over to DC.
Oh.
And talking about Dick Grayson, Tim Drake, all those guys, all the Robins, Carrie Kelly.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go read every Batman comic ever right now.
It's going to be a Robin Fest.
To make sure I know what I'm talking about. It's a Robin Fest. Yeah, we're calling it Holy Robin Batman. And you can also read all of my rantings and ravings and newsy reports on Geek Girl Authority. I write for her website, Audrey, our friend Audrey, who's been on a couple times. Write for that website every day. So anyway, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Yep.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.